611 once welcome, always welcome. You're listening to Morning Devotion.
So good morning, brothers and sisters. So this morning we are on the last chapter, chapter 10 of Book of Ezra. It's a very special chapter. Royal priests rise up, be taught and act accordingly. Be taught and accordingly. Okay, all the royal priests rise up. You should teach and then act upon it. So actually this idea comes from verse 4. There are two sessions. So verse 1 to 17, the first session. So revival comes from confession. Revival starts from confession. So in verse 1, while Ezra was praying and confessing, weeping and throwing himself down before the house of God, a large crowd of Israelites, men, women, and children gathered around him. They too wept bitterly. How does this revival start? Actually, the revival starts from the confession of one person. So chapter 10 is the continuation of the chapter 9, and Ezra continued to pray and confess. So when one person confesses, actually the Holy Spirit will not only touch one person, but yet this kind of touching will start with one vessel. So when Ezra is filled with the Holy Spirit, actually he will touch the other peoples as well. So for the rest of the people, they are not called to come over together. And instead, somehow all these people are drawn together to assemble together. So you can see that this is the beginning of the revival. Actually, they are all touched by the Lord. And right at that moment, a person was standing. And then he said that even though we've been unfaithful to our God by marrying foreign women from the people around us, but in spite of this, there is still hope for Israel. And this person is Shechaniah. So he is Shechaniah, son of Jehiel, one of the descendants of Elam. So actually for this Shechaniah, for the sons of Elam, when we refer to verse 26, you can find that quite a lot of people from his tribe intermarried the foreign women. So that's why you can tell that is the big problem to the Israelites. And actually this Shechaniah was saying that I know what to do. We need to make a covenant with God that we should send away all these women and their children in accordance with the counsel of my Lord and of those who fear the commands of our God. In verse 3. So of course, you say that you need to send away your wives. In the modern society, you find it very difficult to accept it. Actually, this condition, the Bible does not mention anything to agree upon it. For example, Abraham married Hagar, and then the problems comes. So that's why the wife of Sarah asked Abraham to send away Hagar. Actually, Abraham didn't know what to do. But then God said to Abraham that, oh, you need to listen to your wife. And then it's followed that the Israelites left Egypt. And then later on, God started to set the rule. So what's the rule? What's the boundary? That is, you have to marry with your own people. Otherwise, if you get married, if you intermarry with some other foreign nations, foreign ladies, then the inheritance will become a bit confusing. The boundary of your inheritance will be confusing as well. So, you know, when you're married with some foreign woman, then it will really affect the foundation of the inheritance among the Israelites. So here this person is saying that if you do not know the genealogy of your tribe, then your tribe might become unholy, might be defiled, then you are not very sure whether you come from the families of high priest. So, of course, in the modern time, we do not do it this way. So, for example, your spouse is not a believer yet, then what should you do? You should use your life example, to let your spouse come to know Christ one day. Of course, today you cannot say that, oh, because my spouse never wants to be a Christian, so I send her away. But here in this context, they need to make the covenant with God and then send away all these women and children. And then in verse 4, rise up, this matter is in your hands. We will support you, so take courage and do it. So it means that this is what you should do. So it means that Israel, this is what you should do. Because why? Because you are the authority. Also, you got the commissioning from the kings as well. So actually, not only the king sent you to go back, you are also a very senior government official as well. So it means that you got all the authority and power to rearrange all the resources. So that's why Shechaniah said to Ezra, don't cry anymore, rise up, we will support you. You need to take courage to do it. So actually in this verse, rise up, and also do it, and these two are the imperative verbs. So Ezra should do it accordingly, as he's the authority and he's got the power, and also all the people support him. So that's why he agreed to do it. So what did he do? He did not do any administrative work. Actually, nobody can force anyone to confess the sins. Nobody can force someone to confess. And we heard that some other churches, they might know that our church will confess the sins, so that's why they want to follow suit. They want to learn from us to confess. But yet when they try to do it, they could not make it. Because why? Because you cannot just copy the actions. You cannot force yourself to copy the action if it is not truly from your heart and from the spirit. Then what did Ezra do in verse 6? Then, so that Ezra withdrew from before the house of God and went to the room of Jehohanan, son of Eliashib. While he was there, he ate no food and drank no water, because he continued to mourn over the unfaithfulness of the exiles. So in other words, he continued to fast and pray. So Ezra continued to fast and pray on behalf of the Israelites. And then for the rest of the people, they continue to gather together. And they proclaimed that within 3 days, they needed to gather together. So, and on the 20th of the ninth month, they gathered together. Everyone was very fearful at that time. In verse 10, then Ezra the priest stood up. So here is very interesting. So here the emphasis is on Ezra as the priest. Actually, in this chapter, Ezra has appeared 7 times. But there's only 2 times to address Ezra the priest. So this is the first time to address Ezra the priest. So in chapter 7, when Ezra appear, it say that where there is an Ezra. And also when the king gave him a commission, and the king also addressed him as Ezra the priest. So it means that he is officially given the authority as the priest by the king. So it's just like our Pastor Deborah, when he entered in Hong Kong, he got the visa as a being written as the prophet of 611 Church. So you know, it was me to write the letter for her in order for her to come into Hong Kong. Actually, it is not easy at all to write this letter. So you know, when we wrote this kind of letter, we need to prove to the Hong Kong government that we could not find a person like this, like her, in Hong Kong. So that's why I need to write this kind of letter to prove that Pastor Deborah was the only person that we can find from Taiwan. And then at the same time, we also need to look for some other pastors of the other church to confirm that this person, Pastor Deborah, really got the gifting of prophecy. So, and then later on, the government sent some officials to come and take a look at Pastor Deborah to see whether she truly got the gifting of prophecy. And then finally, she is approved. So that's why finally the Hong Kong government approved her as a prophet. This is her identity to come into Hong Kong. So for the king, when he commissioned him, the edition is saying that it's addressing to Ezra as a priest. But for the rest of the Bible, I mean for the rest of the book of Ezra, he is only addressed as Ezra. But yet in verse 10, then Ezra the priest, Ezra the priest, you have been unfaithful. You have married foreign women, adding to Israel's guilt. Now honor the Lord, the God of your ancestors, and do his will. So when he says so, then the Bible right away confirm him that, yes, now you are the priest, and this is what you need, what you should do as a priest. So it means that a lot of times we carry a lot of identities. For example, we are the father, we are the mother, we are also the child of someone, or we might be the manager of the company, while at the same time we are the royal priest. But for the royal priests, what they need to do got a very specification. For example, as a child, then we earn the money and then we give the money to the parents to honor our parents, right? And this is our identity as a child. So what about if we carry the identity of a priest? What should we do? We can refer to here. What should we do? We should be daring enough to stand up and then to point out the mistakes, the wrongdoings of the congregation. But of course, at the same time, we need to first repent and confess. And then we mention the mistakes and the sins to the public, to the congregation, and ask them to repent and ask them to follow the will of God, to honor the will of God, and ask them to separate themselves from the people around them and from all those foreign wives. So here, there are two stresses. The first stress is Ezra, the priest. So it means that this is what the priest should do. So in other words, it is what the royal priest like us should do. And then finally, what did Israel do finally? Actually, he didn't do anything. Because why? You cannot force anyone to confess the sins. So you know that as the priest, we cannot say that, we cannot come out and say that, hey, you got the sins, how come you do not come out to confess? And then the congregation might respond to you, hey, who say that I am sinful and you got the sin instead? So that's why we cannot force anyone to confess their sins. So if you do think that you are sinful, you are committed to sins, then you come out and respond. Finally, all these people responded to God. Finally, they were willingly to respond to God and to confess their sins. So finally, they do it from the first day of the 10th month until the end of the year. But yes, some people went against it, and the Bible mentioned it. Because why? Because the people might think that this way of dealing with things was too stern, too serious. Because why? In verse 29, there's a person here mentioned that this person also got a foreign wife. So, but they did not confess their sins either. So that's why some people think that the way that Israel expected was too harsh. The second session, revival start with the marriage. Actually, when we want to rebuild the family of God, when we want to rebuild the kingdom of God, when we want to rebuild the church, everything starts with the marriage. So that's why in the following verses, they are the name list of those persons who should send away their wives. And some of the names we need to pay attention. So here, there are altogether 130 names. Are they a lot? In comparison with the complete number of the exiles, it covers around 3%. So only 3%, so it means that it's not a big number. But yes, right at the start, we need to deal with sins. So it means that if the 3% of the people committed sins, then we need to get rid of all these 3%. It means we need to get rid of all the sins that are committed by these 3% of people. If we don't deal with them, then the percentage will get higher. And among all these people, 17 are priests and 10 are Levites. So altogether, 24 persons here. Sorry, 27 persons. So it means that amongst these 130, 27 persons married to foreign wives. So actually it's quite serious. So it means that the Levites and the priests took the initiative, took the lead to marry the foreign women. So especially in verse 18, a person was name was mentioned. So that is the descendants of Joshua, son of Jozadak. So actually this Joshua was the high priest. So in book of Zechariah, it mentioned that this Joshua was wearing the robe of filthiness. So it also mentioned that all his children got the problems as well. And then in the following, then you can find the list of all those priests who committed sins against God. So it means that all those high priests in exiles were in the list. So you can see that the falling starts from the Levite, starts from the priest. So that's why today you will expect the revival. The revival starts with the marriages. So we need to pay attention to this name list. And so actually the rest of this chapter is only about the name list. So it's just like the book of Esther, chapter 28, suddenly it stopped in the middle. And then what about the rest? So it's the same here. So Ezra proclaimed that every one of you need to confess your sins. And then it finished. So it means that he just surrendered the rest of it to God. And then the Holy Spirit guide them. If you are willing, if you are touched by the Holy Spirit, then you come out and confess. And finally, it turns out that 111, three names are mentioned. So what happened to them finally? Were they okay finally after the confession? But from the historical point of view, all these people, they've been trying the best, striving the best to go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple of God. Actually, I would say right at that moment of time, they really love God because they paid the price. But yet, you will realize that when people stop following God, people will fall away from God. Actually, all these things happen after 4 months when Israel returned to Jerusalem. And then after 12 years, in chapter 10 of Israel, and then Israel do it again. And then another 30 years later, Israel do it again. So it means that this covenant was not only made once and then it's done. Actually, Israel kept facing the issue. Israel kept dealing with the issue. So it means that it's implying that actually it's very easy for man to go astray. So that's why God need to raise up the leaders, for example, Israel here, as the descendants of the high priest and to be the priest. But of course, as a priest, he did not really do it only once, because after 12 years, he did it again. After 30 years again, he did it another time. And then it stopped here, finally, in this book. So in other words, be the people of God. Being the people of God, we need to keep dealing with our sins in our midst. And the royal priest need to take the lead to confess the sins and pray. Then you do it, you confess, so that your tribe, yourself, people knows that this is not right. What you did, so then it is the way to lead your people to follow God continuously. Yes, Lord, we call upon your name. Yes, Lord, we come before you in unity to seek you. Please help us to turn away from sins and evil and wickedness. So yes, Lord, may your throne be among us, as we want to honor you and glorify you. Yes, Lord, our nations belong to you. Yes, Lord, we wait upon you. Yes, Lord, we look upon you. Yeah, we all belong to you. We come before you in your temple. Yeah, we are not asking for anything else. And instead, we ask to encounter you. We ask to draw closer to you. Yes, Lord, we need you. Yes, Lord, we desire you. We long for you. We would like to encounter you face to face. So brothers and sisters, let us pray for our own hearts. So before we come before the Lord and we come to the morning devotion, we would like to encounter God, right? So let us first pray for our own hearts. So every day, every morning, whether you come to the church in person or whether you stay online to attend the morning devotion, you are not simply attending a gathering. And instead, we come because we want to encounter God face to face, because we really want to go into the kingdom of God. But are we ready today? Are we ready today? Shall we pray for our hearts? Let our hearts be ready for the Lord. So when we say that we are returning from captivity, then let us examine our hearts to see whether we are ready or not. So now let us pray for our own hearts. Yes, dear Heavenly Father, yes, you know that we love you. You know that we long for you. But yes, sometimes, somehow, we take it as a routine that we come before you. Even though physically we are here, our hearts are not here. Yeah, we say with our words that we love you, we want to return to you, we say that we want to draw closer to you, but yet it is only the empty words. These are the empty words. We do not truly respond to you with our whole hearts. But today, that once again we come before you, we want to tell you, Lord, that we would like to use our actions to present ourselves to you. Yeah, we do not only come with the words, and instead we present ourselves with actions to you as well, because we would like our lives to be completely returned to you, not only the physical body, but also with our hearts as well. So please accept our lives again. Please accept every one of us here, Lord Father, as we truly repent and confess our sins before you. So Lord, please continue to speak to us and continue to speak into our hearts. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Yes, Lord, truly we need you. We truly need you in our midst to guide us. Let our hearts be open to you. And today that you say to us that we are here to marry the foreign women, that we sin against our God, yet Israelites, there is still hope for the Israelites. Now, let us make a covenant before our God to send away all these women and their children in accordance with the counsel of my Lord and of those who fear the commands of our God. Let it be done according to the Lord. Holy Spirit, we ask you to shine upon us, to shine upon every one of us, including myself. Yes, Lord, when we are following you, brothers and sisters, when we follow God, have we ever been indifferent to God? Have we ever been tempted by the world? Have we been tempted in the area of boy-girl relationship, pornography? Have we ever been tempted by this world in terms of premarital sex, cohabitation? And even some brothers and sisters right now are still entangled in the extramarital affairs. So right now, at this moment, let us surrender ourselves before the Lord. So whether we are sitting or standing, Yes, Lord, we want to tell you that. Lord, we want to confess that. We want to confess all our sins, transgressions, and iniquities. You say that we are all royal priests, and as the priests, so on behalf of ourselves, on behalf of our family members and tribes, we come before you and confess our sins. Yes, Lord. Lord, please, right at this moment of time, yeah, please give us the spirit of repentance. Let us know that we are really the people of iniquity. So Lord, please hear out our confession. Israel prayed and confessed his sins and wept, and he also threw himself down before the house of God. Israel prayed, confessed, wept, and threw himself down before the house of God. Yes, Lord, we know. Yes, Lord, we come before you. We come to your temple. Yes, Lord, we are all your priests. We are all chosen by you as a royal priest. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, give us the spirit of confession upon us. Yes, Lord, please grant us the spirit of confession, that we are willing to take the lead to confess sins. Yes, Lord, we know that we carry a lot of identities at the same time. Some of us are parents, but at the same time, we are the children, we are the cell leaders, we are the cell members, we are the managers in the marketplace, we're the employees. Everyone carries a lot of identities. But yes, today you have chosen us to be the royal priests. So Lord, please, Lord, come and accept all our confessions. Please forgive us. Forgive all our sins and iniquities. Yes, it's true that some of us, we dare not to confess our sins before you, or dare not to even to tell our cell members about our witnesses. Some of us here are still trapped in the sins of lust. So Lord, please come and help us. Lord, please come and help us. Yes, Lord, we cannot help ourselves. Lord, we cannot help ourselves because somehow we still allow ourselves to indulge in the pleasures of this world. But Lord, please forgive us and help us. Please forgive us, forgive our children. Yes, Lord, yes, right now I take up my identity as the high priest, as a priest, on behalf of all the unmarried brothers and sisters, I confess the sins. Yes, our hearts are stubborn. We sin against you, Lord. We know it very well that the believers cannot go with the unbelievers, cannot yoke with the unbelievers, but yet we still allow ourselves to indulge in this kind of sins. We cohabitate with the non-believers. We cohabitate with the non-believers. Lord, we do not follow you. And instead, Lord God, Father, we do not find our contentment in you. And instead, we try to satisfy ourselves by sinning against you in order to get the flesh, in order to get the physical, the flesh satisfaction. So all this sexual intercourse, all this premarital sex, all these extramarital affairs, We think that that is not a big deal. So, well, we find all these things not a big deal. We do not confess our sins. Yeah, we know that, Lord, today we know that we sin against you greatly. Yeah, Lord, we please also forgive us as the cell leaders. Sometimes we become sick of persuading or advising our brothers and sisters not against you, and we find it very tiring. We don't want to do it anymore. So, Lord Father, please forgive us as well as the cell leaders. We are weak. Yes, Lord. On behalf of all the wives, I confess of the sins, because as the wives, we do not know how to be the good wives. We do not know how to be the good helper to our husbands. So whenever we interact with our husbands, we grumble against our husbands. We have a lot of bitterness against our husbands. We do not really help our husbands in the proper way, and instead we look down on our husbands. And also as the mothers, we do not know how to bring along our children to walk on this journey with you. And instead we are just nagging, we're just scolding our children out of fear. We just keep nagging and nagging out of fear. We cannot help our children to come out from sins, and instead we make our children to stay away from you and to stay from away from the church. So what we have been doing is just making, it's just to make our children to stay further away from God. So Lord Father, please forgive us. As the mother, as the wife, Lord, we really need your grace. We really need your help. Yes, Lord, we need you. Yes, Lord, please forgive us. As a father, as a husband, that we do not guard our position well. We only think that given that we work hard, as long as we work hard, it is enough. So Lord, please forgive us as the husband, as the father, that we do not care enough for the needs of our wives. We just teach our wives. We just use our mentality of working, the working mentality. We just use our working mentality to deal with our wives, to deal with our children. Yes, we project our emotions, our tempers on our families. We can be very nice, and very loving to the outsiders, but instead, we show all our tempers and angers to our own families, to our close family members, including our children and our wives. So Lord Father, please forgive us as the fathers, as the husband. Forgive us because we did not really care for our children. We did not care for our wife. Whenever we find them unable to do what we expect, then we show our temper, we show our anger. And then also we are very angry whenever our wives point out our mistakes, and we just throw our temper instead. We just try to justify what we do. So Lord Father, please forgive us as the husband. As a husband, we do not care for our family in a proper way. We just stay away from the family. We just get drunk. We just indulge ourselves in drink, in wine, in mobile phone. We do not spend time in praying to you. We just run away from the situation. So Lord Father, please forgive us. Lord, please forgive us. You say that As a husband, as the father, we should be the head of the family, but instead, we do not set a good example. Instead, we do not fulfill our duty as the head of the family. We do not fulfill our duty to love our wives and to love our children. Yes, Lord, please forgive our sins. Yes, Lord, please forgive us again. Yes, some of us as the cell leaders, sometimes we are fearful, we are timid. We dare not to confront with our cell members. We know well that our cell members are committing sin or doing something against God, are doing something which is not proper, but yet we dare not to confront them, we dare not to point out their mistakes, to persuade them from sinning against God. Yes, Lord, this is the area that we have sinned against you. Yes, Lord, we do not know how to follow you. So, Lord, please forgive us. Yes, Lord, we want to return to you. Yes, Lord, we want to return to you. Yes, we want to run to you. Yes, Lord, we need you. Yes, Lord, we need you. Please help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Yes, Lord, as you said, yeah, because there is still hope in you. Yes, Jesus, help us. Jesus, help us. Yes, Lord, we present all our sins to you. Yes, Lord, you know that, and your mercy is upon us. You listen to our prayer. Because God, you say that you would not look down on those who truly repent. So, brothers and sisters, let us do a prophetic action. So we hold up our hands, okay? It's a symbolize that we are presenting all these sins, and then you put your hands on the floor. So it means that you surrender all the sins to the Lord. Your hands should not hold on to the sins anymore. Instead, our hands should hold on to God. And then we put up our hands. We ask God for His grace and mercy to fill us. When we hold on to God like this, then you can kneel down when you do so. And when you finally reach out your hands to the Lord, then you can stand up slowly. Yes, Lord, what we hold on to is your grace, is your promise, is your faithfulness. Because the Bible say, and Israel stand and say to them, you are sinful, you are sinful. But yet, when we hold on to God, that we are standing as the high priest, that we tell people that, then we remind the people we should not sin against God anymore, and instead we shall hold on to God. So today, would you like to hold on to your position as the high priest to persuade, to advise the people around you to follow God, not to sin against God anymore? So today, every one of us should take up the role as a royal priest to teach the people not to sin against God, and also to intercede for those people as well. Yes, Lord, we are timid. Sometimes as a parents, as spouses, as the cell leaders, we dare not to speak of the truth, to speak the truth into the hearts of the people. So Lord, today we need your courage. We need your courage. So whoever putting up their hands, Lord, you give them the courage. So brothers and sisters, shall we all stand to take up the role of the royal priest, that we pray for our families and the people around us. We pray for their marriages especially for those who are not married. So let us make the decision to walk on the will of God. Let us make the decision to walk on the will of God. If you are married, you are the husband, you are the wife, then you pray for yourselves as well as for your own family, so that your families upon generations will walk in the will of God. Shall we pray now? Hallelujah, Shambhala. Yes, Lord, you are the one. Yes, Lord, you are the one to establish families. Yes, Lord, you are the one to match all the marriages. Yeah, because you say the person who is alone is not good, and that's why you create a helper for him. So, and this is your idea and your will. So may your idea, may your will be done upon all those, all these brothers and sisters who are standing before you. So now we proclaim that your will come upon every one of us, that everyone will become your appropriate vessel, that everyone will take up the role of the royal priest. Lord, we surrender our marriages and our families of generations unto you. Yes, Lord, you reign, and you lead our families of generations. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yes, Lord, let us receive the blessings of God. Yes, Lord, you teach us to be the tree of life, to be the royal priest. So, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bless every one of us here, that every one of us here is a royal priest. As a royal priest, it means that we are willing to have the life example, to have the faith of the priest, to have the courage of the priest, and also to have the sensitivity to sins. So may every one of us live the lives of the royal priests in our daily lives, that we are willing to discipline ourselves. In our matrimony, it is holy. In our marriage, it's holy. It's a biblical. It's a true of life marriage. Let every one of us receive the courage and the faith from the Lord, and to do what God wants us to do according to His will. To stay away from the world, to stay away from Babylon, to stay away from all the traps and all the indulgence in this world. Let us continue to lead our lives to please our God. I bless every one of you to walk on this journey with God, and this is the journey to help you to return home. That is the journey to help you to return to the temple of God and truly to become the royal priest. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.